with a man like you. Do that to me one more time. I can never get enough of a man like you. Oh, kiss me like you just did. Oh, baby, do that to me once again.
Just said, shh, not at all, you Brit such drama queens.
You dreamt that the master had risen, but you stopped it from happening.
You ground his bones to make your bread.
That's true. Except for the bread part. I'm naming all the stars.
You can't see the stars, Mom. That's the ceiling. Also, it's day.
That's great, Larry. You've really mastered the single entendre.
Angel. It's still warm.
I knew you'd like it. I found it in a quaint little shop, girl.
But Spike, the bad teacher, was going to restore Angel's soul.
What if she did? If you ask me, I find myself preferring the old Buffy whipped Angelus. This new improved one is not playing with a full sack. I love a good slaughter as much as the next bloke, but his little pranks will only leave us with one incredibly brassed off slayer.
Welcome to Sue Watches Buffy, a Yes Mother Cast episode of Buffy. I'm the worst.
That works.
Today we will be covering Season 2, episodes Surprise, Innocence, Phases, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, and Passion. I'm Em.
And I'm Sue.
All right, welcome everybody, and Sue, welcome to Angelus.
Yes.
Do you know how hard it has been for me? Not to say, just wait. I mean, I did say just wait a few times.
Yes,
but
I can imagine.
But I promise, you don't have to live through the sappiness much longer.
I would think not. I don't see how it could come back from where it ended.
Yeah. You mentioned just hearing about what he did to Drusilla, how evil... And how surprised you were how evil he can be. I don't think you knew you'd be able to see it firsthand.
Nope. I did not see that coming.
Yay!
So, yes. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to just start with surprise, or do you have some overall thoughts?
Just overall, this was a good grouping. I can see why you put these five, like where you ended it at Passion.
Yeah.
So, and more than any other groups of episodes, like I really want to watch the next one.
Yeah, I bet. So. Well, I guess you can in a few hours if you'd like.
Yep. Cam watched three of them with me.
Oh, did he? Which ones did he watch?
He watched Innocence and then Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, and Passion.
What did he think?
His one observation that he wanted me to make sure that I told everyone is that he thinks Buffy has an old lady butt.
Did not expect that.
I didn't either. Not quite sure what he means. Because every time I was like, what do you mean? He's like, look at it. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm like, she's like a teenager. or probably early 20s or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think early 20s at this point. When I think of old lady butts, I guess I think saggy.
I guess he sees saggy butt. That's because that's what I think, too.
I don't know.
He wouldn't explain. He would just look at it. So. No, he seemed. He kept asking me, now who's that? What's going on? I don't know. He seemed like fairly interested. I don't know if he'll watch many more, but.
Yeah.
He at least wasn't constantly making fun of it, which is what I would have expected more of.
I can't imagine I wouldn't get that if Rob watched them. But I guess I don't. I probably will never know.
Oh, I remember. He liked it at the end when Buffy, he says, ooh, she kicked him in the cooch. Cooch. Who's the old lady?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Sorry, what was your...
I was going to say, and this is the string of episodes I think of, and I've probably said it to you a few times, and I've said it to B, and I say to people, give it till about mid-second season. Mm-hmm. It gets better, and if you don't like that, then you're probably hopeless, but...
Right.
Always like, it gets better around the middle of second season. Nope. You gotta at least make it that far.
Nope, I agree. It took a turn for the better. So.
Yeah.
Not that I hated it before or anything, but, you know. I'm glad it's getting, it seems to be getting better and better. So, should we start with feedback, maybe?
Yeah.
I see we got an email from Harold and we got an email from Kristen.
That's right. And then I've got something on Facebook.
Okay.
Oh.
Do you want me to start with Chris's?
Yeah.
All right. She and Kristen is my sister-in-law. She is Cam's sister. So she says, hey, Sue and Em, I am enjoying your podcast as always. I am a devoted listener. Thanks, Chris. You guys are awesome. I am so glad you're doing what you have been watching for us to listen to while we have the long wait for Bates Motel to come back on. I decided to take the journey with Sue and dive into the world of Buffy. Yay! I must say, I fully expected it to be cheesy, and some of the episodes have lived up to that expectation, but the more I watch it, the more I like it. The characters have really grown on me. The Halloween and Dream episodes have been my favorite so far. The Halloween storyline was great, too. I, too, was surprised that I hadn't seen it done before. I am on about the same episode as Sue. I am looking forward to see what is coming up. Chris. So, yay. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
So, yeah, I'm excited that she's doing this with me. I told Cam, and he was like, ugh. He may have lost a little respect for Chris. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm glad she is too. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I told her she ought to get our nephews into it. Randy's two little boys, they're, well, not little boys, they're like 14 and 16. I think they'd like it too.
Yeah, they're about at that age.
Yep. And they're not little. They're both like over 6 feet. So, anyway, and then we got one from Harold.
Harold says, Sue, don't read this until you have watched through Passion. Spoilers. Are you still reading this? You have been warned.
I did not read it, Harold, I promise. This is the first I've seen it.
Oh, he touches on Sherlock, which I wanted to touch on for a second.
Okay.
Because I don't know when we're going to do a what we've been watching episode. He says, I've also watched the first two episodes of season 3 of Sherlock, which are now on Netflix. I've been disappointed with the two I have seen so far. The emphasis on comedy has thrown the show off kilter for me. Am I alone on this? How did the fandom react? The fandom reacts surprisingly well. Mm-hmm. More than I thought they would. Because I liked them, but honestly, when they'd get done, I was like, that was weird. And I expected a lot of backlash on that. I didn't see it on the fandom. Now, critics did backlash, but the Cummer bitches united.
Yep.
And they just liked it. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you, although I don't know. I don't think Sherlock acted, like, take the mustache stuff, for example, which I, of course, loved because I don't like mustaches.
Right.
I felt it was, I thought it was funny, and I don't know, people, it, the critics thought it was very mean-spirited, most of the first episode, but I don't know, I thought it was funny. It was a little aggravating not to get the actual full story of how they did it, the season two ending.
Right. Is he on that one? Let's see.
It sounds like he watched the wedding one.
That's right.
I don't know. My hairstylist, Patrick, I just went to him a couple days ago. No, it was the last time I got my hair cut. Mm-hmm. He had just watched them, and he was super disappointed.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I don't mind the humor so much. I just see this as just a different take on Sherlock, and I find it enjoyable. I don't know. Like the chemistry between the two. And
it was a little weird, like the whole wedding thing, but I just felt like it made up for it by some awesome things he said. And the horrible things he said.
Right, right.
It was different. And, yeah. Critics weren't as favorable as the fans. The fans just liked it. As far as I saw.
Yeah. If anyone I know that watches Sherlock, I haven't heard any complaints.
Yeah, Patrick was my first complaint. But in my head, when they were done, I was like, that was kind of weird. I think people are not going to like that. I kind of did. But then I was surprised that everyone did.
Right. Right. I don't know.
The third one goes back. I don't know. You've probably seen it by now, I'm guessing. I think the third one kind of goes back to Forum, don't you?
I think so.
Or Return to Forum.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen any of them, so I'm like...
Yeah, and I've only watched them all once.
Yeah, same. Well, I did a rewatch of season one and two right before season three aired, but that's been a while.
Well, I've watched all the others a million times.
Yeah.
The third season I've only seen once when they aired, which I guess speaks a little, but I don't know. I've just been meaning to go back.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember thoroughly enjoying when Sherlock comes to the restaurant and
I loved it so much.
Look at him. Oh, that made me laugh.
I loved it. The mustache stuff was amazing.
He
just kept taking the Mickey out of him every second he could.
Part of the humor is how how Sherlock has absolutely no social skills. I mean, his brain is so wired that, I mean, to me, most of the humor is just like him just not knowing how to be around people.
Right. He's a high functioning sociopath.
Right. So it kind of cracks me up because that's how someone like that would be. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're trying to be, funny, ha-ha. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't think they broke character or anything. I thought they all reacted exactly as you'd expect.
Right, right. I mean, I know you don't watch it, but that's kind of how, on The Big Bang Theory, it's kind of how Sheldon is. He's just such a genius. Like, his mind is just so wired. He's just got no social skills, and that's where most of his humor comes from, too. Is just not knowing how to react around people and not having any social graces, and
right,
you know, so I don't know.
Oh, and the bachelor party was the best. I thought they were my consensus is I do see what you mean, and I thought they were very different, but I loved them.
Yeah.
And they made me laugh, and it's a good time.
Yeah, and I don't know. Sometimes you just become such a fan of something that you don't necessarily see the things that bother other people all the time, you know, until it's pointed out.
Possibly.
I don't know. So.
Yeah.
But.
Anyway, that's what we thought. And, you know, that's the fandom reacted favorably, and it surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Not much. I couldn't give much of a straight answer. Cause...
Now that I've finished Orange is the New Black, I have moved on to Deadwood, which I've never seen before. It's been on my list of shows to watch since it first aired, but I never got around to it. I'm 10 episodes in and enjoying it a lot, even though Stephen Tobolowsky hasn't made his first appearance yet. Then again, Veronica Mars is in it. Who knew?
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't know she was in it either.
I didn't know. Now he says, for Buffy, I've been rewatching these episodes along with you, Sue, and this is a really good sequence of episodes. Innocence and Passion are two of the best episodes of Buffy, and Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered is probably the funniest. As I said in our secret No Susan's Allowed group, it is amazing that they let the angel situation develop for 25 episodes before springing this dramatic turn of events. I should read that. I'll get to the Facebook stuff in a minute.
Okay.
Five things. One, yes, David Boreanaz can act, and Angel is not so boring after all. You don't need the judge to verify that Angelus is pure evil. Just a note here. Mm-hmm. They've been pronouncing it Angelus, and Joss Whedon did not want the actors to pronounce it that way, and he corrects them. So through the rest of Buffy, he's known as Angelus.
Okay.
And the fandom and the characters refer to Soulless Angel as Angelus, which they really just call him Angel right now. So I'm just kind of filling you in.
Okay, gotcha.
We distinguish the two by calling Souled Angel, Angel, and Soulless Angel, Angelus. And we pronounce it Angelus because that's the way Joss wanted it, and he corrects his actors. But at this point, they're calling him Angelus.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that because it made me think of Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we don't need the judge to verify that Angelus... Oops.
It's Angelus.
Thank you. Okay. You don't need the judge to verify that Angelus is pure evil. Just watch how he saunters into Spike and Drusilla's lair and just takes over the place. Or his smile when he is looking through the window at Buffy and Willow in Passion. The best moment in these episodes is the scene in Innocence when Angel returns to his apartment and destroys Buffy with his casual cruelty about her sexual performance. Oh, man.
That was so mean.
So mean!
I felt so bad for her.
I know. We'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah.
It could have been over the top, but instead it is just one cutting comment after the other, and Sarah Michelle Gellar does a great job of acting the pain and confusion that Buffy's going through. Two, another indelible moment is the scene where Giles comes home to find roses, a bottle of wine, opera, and a note to go upstairs. Then the bottle shatters. Ooh, that Angelus is evil. Now, don't you want to see him get his own series?
A little more, yes.
Willow and Oz are so adorable together in these episodes. Well, this is number three. I think my favorite moment is the scene in Surprise when Willow assures Oz that she won't turn him down if he asks her out. And then he asks her out and she realizes she can't go out with him. I think that's mine too.
That was awesome.
He's like, you see, I like that you're unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, 4. The death of Jenny Callender is pretty shocking. She fit in so well with the rest of the group, and I thought the actress who played her had just done a great job in the previous episode, lusting after Xander. Clearly, Angelus went to the school library in innocence with the plan of killing Willow and the rest of the gang, and he tried to kill Xander and Bewitched, but each time he was foiled. I kept expecting the same thing to happen when he was chasing Miss Callender. There's even that shot just before he kills her where you can see cars passing by below the window, and I thought someone was going to come around and interrupt.
I thought the exact same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Because, yeah, Cam was watching this one with me, and, you know, he kept going, when's the Slayer going to show up?
Uh-huh.
I was like, any second now, any second now.
Uh-huh.
Like, she always shows up right at the last second, and then she didn't show up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that, like, tan sedan, and I was like, there they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will, I'll probably get into it during the episode, but I'll tell you my thoughts when I was watching it for the first time. 5, some nitpicks. You would think that after Angel turns that the gang would try to undo his invitation into their homes ASAP and that Jenny Callender would be working from home after dark. That would have been smart.
Yeah, I kind of... Yeah.
Jenny, I'm sure you have a computer at your home. You're a computer
right?
Buff, right?
Yeah, that was... I kind of had a similar thought. And then when Buffy leaves the library that night, I'm like, why is she just out in the dark by herself?
Yeah.
So. Well, cool. Well, thanks, Harold.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Here's a little Facebook feedback. I posted something that said, I just finished recording, and I just have to say how very excited I am for Sue to watch her next batch of episodes. She is watching Surprise for Passion, and she really has no idea what's going to happen to Angel, and judging from her comments tonight, she's going to love it. I tried not to give her hints about how epic they are, but I was nearly bursting inside. This will be fun. And Harold said, I watched Bad Egg, Surprise, and Innocence again over the weekend, and it's amazing how the show changes so drastically at this point. It is really a slow burn how they took so much time to develop the show before getting to this point. I assume they were planning to get there all along, but considering that shows can get canceled after 2 episodes, it was a gutsy move. Innocence is such an amazing episode. I am sure she will be hooked by then if she isn't already. And I said, I'll divulge that she really enjoyed this group of episodes and maybe even liked Bad Eggs. And Elizabeth
I'm sure
Smith.
I'll get some- backlash.
Elizabeth Smith said, I'm always envious when someone gets to experience this for the first time. And then I put a last call for feedback on both Facebook pages, and Bob DeGran said, my favorite episode changes pretty often, as the great Buffy episodes are very different from each other. But it is often Innocence. To me, it is the most shocking episode of the series. We realize for the first time just how evil he can be. No, not Angelus, Joss Whedon. And it only gets ratcheted up even further in Passion. I'm really looking forward to hearing Sue's reactions to these episodes. In general, fans that were critical of David Boreanaz's acting or the Buffy-Angel relationship tend to love Angelus, and the rivalry between Angelus and Spike adds a new dimension to the vampires. This isn't season 1 where they are all on the same page. For me, this is where Buffy achieves greatness as a series, and without being spoilery, there's plenty more to come.
Nice.
We just got a little blurb from Flora, our fan in France. She says, I just watched my first Buffy episode. Sadly, I can't give you any feedback because I'm only at the very beginning of season 1. I'm lagging behind. Hey, Flora. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm glad that she's hopping along on this Buffy watch with me, too.
I know. I'm excited. I'm, like, getting people to watch Buffy. This is so exciting.
Yeah, that's... Well, 3 people, plus you got Bronwyn, our sister-in-law.
That's right. Just need to dust my hands off real quick. All right. So, surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise is rated number 28, and it is written by Joss and Marty Noxon.
Wow, that's okay.
So, surprise is Buffy's birthday.
Yep, I think I called that. I was like, surprise, surprise party.
You did. I think that's the only thing you got right.
Yep. I'm not very good at the predictions.
Well, to be fair, pretty hard to predict sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This. Yeah. I was very surprised through this whole watch. This particular episode, I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah. When you go back and watch, which I assume you will once in a while, it's a little different when you go back to it because you know what's coming. But it's
right.
Fairly hard to watch. But I think he ratchets up the sappy and
well, and I can see why.
Right. Now,
you know, when I was first watching it, I was just like, "Oh, I hate them so much."
Yeah.
It was just way too much Buffy and Angel stuff. But looking back, you know, after watching the next four, I was like, okay, I see why he, you know, like you said, ratcheted up.
Right. And you also, you do have to give it a look at, well, all of this, really. We'll do it a few times while we discuss, but looking at it through the eyes of a teenage girl, which is what this is aimed at.
Right.
High school kids. Right. High school girls, mostly, I guess. You know, they were into Buffy and Angel. And so they probably didn't mind this at all.
Right.
And it, you know, it pretty par for the course, just... What's the word? Melodramatic romance for a teen show.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I am watching it through, you know, a woman in her early 40s, you know.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There's that.
But yeah, and I think I made the mistake of watching this one on its own, and then I went to bed, and then I went to work the whole next day, and just was just like, ugh, you know.
Did you see me? I'm like, just watch the first
yeah.
3 minutes.
I know, you're like, just watch the first 3 minutes of the next one. So, I think had I watched Surprise and Innocence back to back, I think
you wouldn't have had so many dark thoughts.
I wouldn't have had so many dark thoughts, exactly. But there were things I did like about Surprise. I liked, like, it creeped me out, like, in the very beginning of Buffy's dream, like, in the very beginning, like, all of a sudden Drusilla was behind her. I was like, ooh, Drusilla, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of creepy. One of my notes is I really like stronger Drusilla, and then I'm like, oh, she's still crazy. Cause
yay.
I can't remember what she does, but she does something. And I was like, sweet, she's still crazy.
Is this the one where she's watching the stars? And Spike's like, we're inside. Also, it's day.
I think that's in Innocence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, yeah. Because Cam was watching that one with me, and he was laughing at that. But let's see. For some reason, I really like Spike in a wheelchair.
That's funny.
It just cracks me up. I like how these vampires in, you know, Whedon's world have, like...
Frailties,
and yeah, that because generally my vampire experience is that they're just strong and can heal, and there's no way one would ever be in a wheelchair. So,
right,
I kind of like these little things that he adds like that. The whole judge guy. I don't know. I just thought, I don't know. I was interested what was in the box because, like, it shows Drusilla opening the box and looking in. And I like how they open, the Scooby Gang opens the box and that arm comes out and, like, strangles Buffy.
Right.
But I don't know. I just wasn't a big fan of the whole judge part of the
episode. Yeah, I can see that. I know Joss Whedon was very disappointed in how he turned out looking.
Oh, yeah. Like
the blue and everything was just not what he had envisioned.
Yeah, I think because, and I didn't like the way he talked, like the first thing I thought of when I started hearing him talk was like, sloth, love, chunk.
Did you notice who the actor was playing it?
Uh-uh.
He's the guy that played Luke, the one vampire that you thought looked especially like a caveman in like the first and second episode of the whole series.
Oh, it's that same guy?
Yep.
But yeah, and then the whole Jenny and the gypsy thing, that caught me by surprise. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, and I believe that was not planned from Jenny's beginning. That was something they devised later on to flesh out the gypsy stuff a little more.
Oh, okay.
I think they felt like they needed a little help, so all of that. Yeah, it was devised later.
Oh, interesting, because it flowed pretty well.
Yeah, it did. And she looks, you know.
Yeah.
They were lucky they picked an actress that could pull off that race of people.
Like what you would think of, like a gypsy might, you know, with the dark hair and the dark eyes. And, mm-hmm. You know, not to stereotype gypsies. I really know nothing about them.
Right.
But that's what I think of. And you corrected me because I put on when I was doing like my thoughts on Facebook, I was like, Jenny is the gypsy. And then you were like, she's a gypsy. And I was like, okay, that makes more sense. Cause at first I was thinking that she was
the person that was
the one that put the curse on him. And I was like, whoa, she's like a couple hundred years old. So I'm kind of glad they didn't do that.
Well, I find that whole thing. I'm like, really? You guys, hundreds of years later, this one girl, you guys, I don't know. I just can't imagine having that much vengeance in your soul to still. I can see trying to monitor Angelus because if he does lose his soul, it's not good.
Right.
I mean, if he gets a soul, no, loses his soul, it's not good. But it seemed to not be about that. It seemed to be about vengeance still. Enyos was very clear on that.
Yeah.
And you just think, how can you have so much drive hundreds of years later? Or was it 100 years? I think it's only been 100 years.
Something like that. Yeah, about 100 years. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess they just hate him that much. I guess he really did a number on... But, like, Uncle, what's his name?
Yeah. Enyos.
Enyos? So, he wouldn't have been around when it originally happened, so he's a, like, a later generation, too, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, that is kind of a weak point to me, too, because the more generations are removed, the less
you would think you'd care.
Care. Right, exactly. But I don't know. Maybe it was so bad that I don't know.
Yeah, and I think they tried to play up the fact that it was a race of people that vengeance, I don't know. This is probably fairly racist of them if this is true, but something where vengeance is something they take very seriously, even, you know, through generations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. If there's any, like, gypsies watching, they might be like, hey.
This is not something I feel. I'm just pointing out that the show might have been a little that way. I don't know.
Yeah. And I like that actor. I always like seeing him, the one that plays Enyos.
Yeah, he's one of those, that guy that's in that thing.
He's totally one of those. Like, every time I see him, I just have this flashback, and I don't know what movie it's from, but, like, he is a really mean guy. Or
it's Ghost.
Is it Ghost?
Yeah, he's a vengeance ghost, and he's teaching Patrick Swayze how to move stuff with just your pissed off mind.
Right, okay. Cause,
I think
that's
his most famous that I can think of. He's in a lot of things.
He's just got that look.
Yeah.
He's, you know, very interesting. I think he died a few years ago, too. Because I remember seeing something about it and went, oh, that guy. That subway ghost guy. I was thinking it was more like Flatliners he was in, but it was Ghost, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I only saw that once. So
I haven't seen it in a good 15 years, but before that I saw it quite a few times.
I think I saw it when it came out, and that was it. But I mean, overall, pretty good episode. I liked it. And in hindsight, I liked it more and more than I did after first watching it. So I'm cutting it some slack because of the next few episodes. So
I liked the monkey in the hip in the pants in the dream.
Yeah.
And it speaks French, or she's speaking French. And that part of her dream gives you, well, it lends credence to this being a prophetic dream, because Buffy had no knowledge of that conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think I read that on Buffy Wiki or something, and I'm like, that's right. She didn't know, so that is supposed to clue you in that this is actually a prophetic dream.
Right. I kind of got that, especially when, like, in the dream, her mom breaks that plate, and then she breaks the plate, and so I was like, okay, because at first I was like, oh, they're not going to, like, make a big deal out of dreams, are they? Because I hate that.
I think that's something that started in the movie. I have never seen the movie. If I did, I might have seen it right when it came out.
Oh, really? You never saw the movie?
I actually did once, but
it just kind of surprises me.
I know. Emily Peterson loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think I did see it with her once. At least half saw it or something. Anyway, that was something that started in the movie, and they come back to it a few times.
Yeah, once I realized that, okay, the dream really does mean something, I was kind of okay with the dream interpretation stuff. But at first I was like, oh, I hate dream interpretation stuff. Dreams, people.
Well, Buffy as a slayer is, I think it's explained in the movie. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But I know for a fact that Buffy as a slayer, and I think Giles has said something about it, she is given the gift of prophetic dreams.
Okay.
Well, that might help you out.
I'm cool with that.
Okay.
As long as it's something she has, I'm good with it.
Because Giles always takes them very seriously because she has that gift, and that's just one of her powers.
Right.
And that started with the master.
There was I remember that. So yeah, that's true. I still think David Lynch does better dreams, but...
Oh, well.
They can't all be David Lynch dreams.
No. What a wonderful world that would be. A creepy one.
I would love it so much. So...
I like it when Oz watches Buffy dust the vampire, and he's like, hey, did everyone see that guy turn to dust?
I enjoy that quite a bit too. Yes, I am really enjoying Oz very much.
Yes.
not just because I'm a Seth Green fan, but I think he's a good character too.
He is
adorable, and I love him and Willow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll talk a little more about him when I think in Innocence. Oh, and Phases, I suppose. any favorite quotes?
I don't have any. I didn't write down any quotes from Surprise. I did notice that Buffy was wearing the giraffe pants again.
She did, and the green ones before that. She changed out. She had a bad pants day.
Bad pants.
Or good. However you look at it.
I was so happy at the idea of when they got the strangling arm and they were talking how Angel should take it to a faraway land, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he was going to be gone for a few months. I was like, oh, sweet.
That was very convenient for Jenny.
Yeah.
It's funny how she just kind of pops up. She's like, I'll drive you to the docks.
Yeah.
Oh, and a quote I wrote down was, you ground his bones to bake your bread.
Oh, that's right.
There's something so funny about that. I can't really pinpoint.
Back like, yeah, I ground him, but no bread or something.
Yeah, that's true, except for the bread.
yeah, that's right.
That was just such a funny thing for Xander to say.
That is pretty funny.
Just very random. Is that like, I don't know, grim fairy tale monsters or something?
Right. Yeah.
Not monsters, giants.
Yep.
Just struck me very funny. Oh, and I have a fun fact that I haven't seen it yet, but in The Fault of Our Stars, this episode is shown on a TV in the movie. It's just shown as being on.
What is Fault of Our Stars?
The Fault of Our Stars. It's like the most popular movie out right now. It's from a teen book.
Oh.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a movie. It's very topical because this movie's out right now.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, I don't know. I haven't read the book or seen the movie, but it's a girl dying of cancer, teen girl, and there's a romance and
Oh, okay. I think I've seen the commercials. Does she have like oxygen thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I just didn't pay attention.
It's supposed to be like a giant cry fest.
Not my kind of movie. I can't get my head out of Planet of the Apes. That's more my movie.
Is that coming out right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Soon. So. Maybe today, actually.
Did you have any thoughts when Angel ran outside and into the rain yelling Buffy?
I was kind of confused by it. I just took it as maybe having that kind of human contact with it, like having that kind of contact with a human is bad for vampires or something. I didn't, you know, I just
like it's something any sort of vampire could have.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
a bad reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It kind of confused me. But I really didn't focus on it too much. Hmm. So I was just like, oh, that must just be bad for vampires. So I certainly wasn't of the mind that what happens happened.
Yeah. Boy, when you... Last episode we recorded... When you were started talking about, so there's not your theory that there wasn't a big bad yet, and for some reason my stomach just dropped. I thought that you were about to say it's going to be Angel.
Oh.
For whatever reason, I totally thought you had guessed it.
Oh,
but then
no.
You said Drusilla, and I'm like, yay!
No, I... Mm-mm. Nope, I thought I was just in for episode after episode after episode of Angel, not... Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was just a moment
funny.
Where you really scared me for a second. I don't know, I'm just... I didn't want you to guess it.
Nope. No, and I still, and until, I guess we can kind of start talking about innocence then,
yeah,
since
let's
we're
move
kind
on
of
to innocence.
Heading towards that conversation. I was like really confused by Angel's, what he was doing. I thought he was faking it in front of Drusilla and Spike when he comes in. Mm-hmm. And, but then when the judge like didn't feel his soul, I was like, he's even got this guy, you know? And so it wasn't until Jenny and Enyos has that conversation, I was like, oh, okay. So he achieved pure happiness. And now his soul's gone, so he really is bad. You know, I thought for some reason he was, I just thought he was faking it to do something to Drusilla and Spike. So,
what did you think about outside with that lady?
Well, that was part of my confusion too. Actually, what I thought was, it kind of came back to him sleeping with Buffy and thinking that must take something out of a vampire. I thought he just had to like instantly feed or something, like it made him weak or something. I still, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was odd that he did that to her and not his MO, you know, but I still, I just wasn't going there that he had lost his soul at that. I was just like, well, I guess, I don't know, like, having sex with a human, I don't know, maybe something comes out of him.
<You know? laughs> Just part of his sickness?
Yeah, I was just confused. But I liked it. I liked seeing him. I did like the way he was around Spike and Drusilla. And then when I put it together after, you know, I'm really glad that Jenny and Anyos had that little exposition scene for me because I needed that. I was like, right on. I am on board. I like this. So.
All right. Well, Innocence is rated.
When you first watched it. Oh, yeah. What is it rated?
It's okay. Innocence is rated number 12. And it's written and directed by Joss.
Okay. And you said that Surprise was 27? 28. Okay. So, yeah, Innocence was a great episode.
Yeah. I agree.
I like when shows just throw me off. So when you watched it for the first time, when did you catch on about him becoming Angelus or Angelus?
I don't remember thinking he had a disease or sorry, not a disease. I didn't have any of your thoughts, but I think I was suspecting it from the beginning. I was like, is he bad now? Did having sex with Buffy make him bad? You know, weird. And then when he was talking to Drusilla and Spike, I kind of was still on that train of thought. But when the judge didn't see any humanity in him. I think I went, oh my gosh, he lost his soul.
Yeah, I mean, I know when the judge did that, I was like, I knew something was going on, but I, for some reason, I just really thought that sleeping with Buffy, I knew it changed something about him, but I wasn't quite putting it together, and I don't know. I'm just kind of watching this just for the entertainment and not trying to pick it apart
right
too badly, because I know that can just get you off point and put you in weird, I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can start focusing on things that you shouldn't be.
Right. Yes.
But I really like him as Angelus way more than I like him as Angel. That's for sure. I like my one of my first notes is, I think I like Mean Angel.
He is a favorite. Yep. I mean, he does bad things, but that's okay in fiction.
Right, right.
This is actually Joss Whedon's favorite episode.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and it's also Christine Sutherland, who plays Buffy's mom, Joyce. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't her... It's not her most fun to shoot episode, but it's her favorite. And Joss wrote the Angelus. That was his way not to fall into the Sam and Diane trap, he called it. Where the two main characters finally get together and you're like, all right.
Yep. Yep.
That's done. Now it sucks.
We've talked about the Sam and Diane trap.
Yeah.
Between Norman and Romero on.
That's right.
So, I was a little surprised that, like, Cordelia and Xander seemed to be more serious.
Yeah, you were expecting them to just fade away.
Yeah, and so when Willow catches him kissing, and that was, I felt so bad for Willow.
Oh, that was hard.
When she says how you'd rather be with someone you hate than with me. Poor thing.
Yeah.
That sucks, but I didn't think that the Cordelia and Xander was going to go too far, but I'm actually kind of liking them as a couple.
Yeah, and it, like I said before, it kind of distracts them from Buffy, which is obnoxious.
Yes. Yep. I loved it when Drusilla's holding that doll and she just, like, pokes its eyes.
She's so weird.
She is so crazy.
And sometimes her little dolls have their mouths muffled, and sometimes it's their eyes that are just weird.
Yep.
Not muffled, but she's got the little bandana around these tiny little strips of cloth around their mouths, and sometimes it's around their eyes. You don't know what they've done to deserve whatever.
Oh, so creepy. So creepy. I thought the little talk between Oz and Willow was really cute about how she asks if he'll kiss her. That's in this episode, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Because this is where they blow the judge up with the rocket launcher.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so Willow and him are sitting outside the army thing, and I thought that he, what a good guy. He's like, I'm not going to kiss you because I want you to be kissing me, not Xander, kind of talk.
Right, and actually, Joss wrote that scene because, you might be surprised, I am, the fandom really wanted Xander and Willow together. And so when Oz came on the scene, they didn't like him because he was a wedge between them. I don't know. That's where little teenage girls wanted it to go. They wanted those two together, and so they didn't like Oz. And so Joss wrote that scene, so you couldn't help but love him.
Well, it worked. I liked him already, but because right. I'm glad that Willow and Xander didn't get together.
Yeah.
They make a better friend couple.
Totally. You know what? You feel bad for Willow, but she's got Oz now.
Exactly. Exactly. So, this thing with them all being so mad at Jenny.
Yes.
I think I need some clarification here. Okay, so Jenny was sent to watch Angel, right? To make sure nothing happened that would take a soul away.
She's supposed to ensure that he stays miserable. And she is not told why.
Right.
Enyo sounds like he knows why. He's not at all surprised. When he has his moment of happiness, that his soul's back. So it sounds like he should have told, I don't know. He kept that knowledge from Jenny for who knows why.
So they're all so angry at her because she allowed Buffy to fall in love with him and him to fall in love with her then?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't put it that way. Here's my take. Buffy is mad at her because she feels betrayed and she feels that Jenny let it happen because she knew what was going to happen and she didn't tell Buffy. So Buffy feels like she got really betrayed because she didn't tell her and that they had no idea she was part of this and the tribe and everything. Mm-hmm. I think Giles is really mostly just standing by Buffy, which I think is actually very sweet.
Yeah, I kind of caught that in the scene where they're in the library and Jenny's like, I just want to help. And Buffy's like, leave. And Jenny's like, Giles. And he's like, just leave. You know,
like, I kind of saw said, that. Get out.
Get out. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That is one of the most heartbreaking scenes of the episode. Oh, that tore my heart out. I thought it was so sad.
It did. And I totally picked up that I don't think Giles wanted to say that to Jenny. He just had to be. He is Buffy's watcher. He has to stay committed.
He is. No matter how he feels about Jenny.
Right.
I think he takes seriously that his responsibility and his allies need to lie with Buffy. And I think by him saying that, I mean, Buffy looks at him, and you can tell it goes a long way.
It does.
Just that blind support.
Yep. Yeah, I could see that. I kind of think they're being a little bit too hard on Jenny.
Definitely.
Because she didn't know, and she tells them that she, you know, what was she supposed to do? Because had she known and tried to prevent Buffy from falling in love with Angel and all that happening, then Buffy would have been mad at her for that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
She was hard on her, and she was even hard on her a few episodes later, but she also shows a lot of strength and love for Giles, being like, you know what? And she has experienced severe unhappiness in love, and I think that kind of sways her a little bit, but she's like,
yeah,
I don't like it, but you make Giles happy, so it's kind of like, you guys have my permission, but
right,
kind of still stay away from me.
Right.
I think I'm giving her a bit of a pass. She's going through a lot.
That's true.
And she's 17, barely 17, and, you know.
Yeah.
She shows a lot of strength.
She
more
does.
Than she could have, I suppose.
Yeah, I was just a little, why are they all just really so mad at her? Because, I mean,
I love Jenny, and I've told you that. And
right.
It makes me sad. It made me sad to see it.
Um, a little stray thought I had is that Oz's van kind of looks like the Mystery Machine.
It does.
I was wondering if they did that on purpose. It's got like the same headlights and front. I don't know. Looks the same kind of. And I just really loved the. Angelus.
Yes.
Doing the nice Jackson 5 line. Like, just look over your shoulder. I'll be there. And then Spike's like, just look over your shoulder.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So was that, did you enjoy Xander's military knowledge returning?
Yes, I did. I thought that was a nice callback.
Yeah. I was thinking about that quite a bit last night for some reason, thinking, so does that mean Larry, like, totally remembers a bunch of details about being a pirate?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was the pirate guy, huh?
Yeah. And does Buffy remember, like, all the details about living on, I don't know, her past was clear.
Right.
It kind of seemed almost like she lived on a southern plantation.
That's kind of the idea I got.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and... because at first when Xander's like, you know, talking to that soldier and like talking about his boots being out of regulation and blah, I was like, is he in the ROTC or something? Is this, you know, but then when he explains that he remembers all that, I thought that was kind of cool how, I mean, like not only in the Halloween episode, like not only did they just kind of become those things, but they like got all the knowledge too.
like Xander says,
layout.
I don't remember how he says it, but he's like, and I'm pretty sure I can assemble a
like an M16 and
yeah. And I don't know, and like Wikipedia it says that he knows like the passwords to get into the bases, like He
says that in this episode. He's like, oh. I know all the codes. I know the whole layout of this place.
I just think that was so cool.
I did too.
And the rocket launcher originally was supposed to be a tank, but it was too expensive.
Oh.
That would have been fun.
That would have been fun to see, but that logistically would have been, yeah, that would have been a hard thing to try and budget and put together.
Yeah, and it would have to have been outdoors, I guess, unless they drove it in somewhere. But I think the rocket launcher did its job just fine.
I liked that scene. I liked how, like, the judge and all the vampires come through that door of the mall, and then all of a sudden he gets, like, shot with an arrow, and he's like, hey.
Yeah, and Drusilla and Angel kind of get what's about to happen, and he's just like, what does that do? I thought that was kind of fun. No weapon forged because he hasn't been around for hundreds of years. So,
exactly. She was like, that was then, this is now.
Yeah. We don't forge things exactly anymore. And things we can do, you couldn't exactly have done a few hundred years ago.
Yep.
So you're toast, dude.
Yeah, I liked that whole part of it. The only thing that is... right when Drusilla and Angelus like realize what's going on, they had to like fake slow motion. Didn't really work.
That's right.
That never works.
That's funny.
But I understand. Sometimes they just have to do that.
Yep.
But yeah, no, really, I liked it when after he shot and Buffy's like, you guys all pick up the pieces, and Cordelia's like, I hate this job. We've got the worst job.
All the worst jobs.
Yeah. And Oz is like, arm.
Yeah.
And then I thoroughly enjoyed Buffy and Angel just kicking the crap out of each other.
Yeah, and, you know, if she would have killed him then, you can understand why she couldn't at that point, but...
I know. And I didn't expect her to, but
no.
I.
She had a good idea.
Yeah.
What did Cam call it?
She kicked him in the cooch. I don't think guys have those.
I don't either. But I think a Slayer kick would probably hurt pretty bad.
Yeah. But, no, good fight. I really enjoy watching Buffy, like, kick people's butts.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's really fun. It's, yeah. So, but yeah, really, really good episode. I love where they're taking it. I love how surprised I was, because I just did not see that coming. So
it's a good little twist.
Yeah, I would say Innocence is where this whole series so far has, like, more than ever, I'm like, I'm on board.
Good. I was hoping so.
Yeah. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't guess it. I don't know. I'm kind of glad I kind of just thought at first that, I mean, obviously sleeping with Buffy did change him, but not what I was thinking at first, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, this is kind of taking, I don't know, again, let's look at it through the eyes of a high school girl. It takes that feeling of sleeping with a guy and having him change.
Mm-hmm.
Takes it to a very, you know,
real, like
a very high level of that.
Yes.
But it's the same concept. You know, I've slept with him and now he's changed. It's a big fear.
It is. And it's something that happens.
It is.
And
so this is cool. You know, when you think about it.
Oh, that scene when she goes back to his apartment, she's so happy to see him because she was so worried about him. He is just so mean. And that is every teenage girl's just worst nightmare.
And it happens. Yeah. So I love that this is here for them, you know. This is,
yep.
You know, someone they can, I don't know, see
identify
that happen. Yeah, identify with. Yeah. And, you know, that scene in his bedroom, they originally, okay, if you'll remember, she goes home, but she just gets to the front door and she turns around.
Right.
They tried, and it was written in the script, they tried to film that, I think, on her lawn. It was outside somewhere. And Sarah and David kept doing the scene and doing the scene, and it just wasn't hitting home like Joss wanted. And so I think they broke for the day, and he came up with the idea. He's like, you know what? It had this scene to have the emotional impact I want. It's got to happen where they actually made love,
right.
And his shirt has to be off. It just, he had to make it as intimate as he could possibly do, and it worked. He was absolutely right.
It did. And just the way Angel played it at first, when he seemed so happy to see her too. Again,
oh,
I was just like, what?
He is diabolical.
I know.
It was horrible.
It was. It.
And she has no idea. She's so shocked.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I love you too. And like walks out. Oh my gosh. It's heartbreaking.
I know. Well, and then he walks out saying, I'll call you, you know.
Yeah, just like, all those little things you fear.
Yeah. I was
and just
really,
attacking
really
her,
hoping.
Like Harold said, attacking her sexual performance is just so mean.
It's so cruel. I mean, how confusing would that
man.
Be? Because usually what the guy does is just kind of ignore you and not call you. And you're
right.
Like, you know, you generally you don't get this kind of confrontation. Like
right.
That.
He takes it a notch further.
It's so mean. But I was so glad when I watched it and he opens the door and he's like, I'll call you. I was like, please don't say not, you know. Because
oh,
I was
yeah.
like, is this around that time? No, that was early, you know. But it's like, I'm so glad he didn't say, you know, I'll call you. Not, you know. I was really
yeah.
glad they didn't go there. because for a second there I was like, oh, don't say it.
Yeah, and especially how he acted in surprise. They were just, he was, you know, the whole clottering, and as you may suspect, clotterings are big in the Buffy fandom. Many Buffy fans get married with them and whatever.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
They are big. In fact, that might be why you've seen them today. I don't think they were really well known, but I do remember them appearing on people's fingers and knowing what they were and hearing, you wear them this way. I don't think anyone knew that until, I think this is what started the clottering phase in America a few years ago.
Yeah, when I saw it, I instantly recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had one myself, but that was just a terrible scene. So mean, but at least she got to kick him in the cooch at the end.
She did.
I can't think of anything else I can think of on that.
One more thing Joss Whedon said about it is that often what people want is not what they need. And you'll see a few times in the series, he'll be like, okay, you guys want Buffy and Angel to get together? This is actually what's going to happen. He takes what you want and he decides that that's not actually what you need.
Well, he is.
That's not what the show needs. I'll give it to you, but this is going to be better, guys.
We need to trust in Joss. He's a smart guy.
Yep.
Yep. And he is. It's his show.
It is his show, and he'll break your heart a few times.
Interesting. I like it.
Yep.
I like it because. Yeah.
Not there's... opposed to taking it to a level you. Many wouldn't. Stephanie Meyer would not do.
Exactly.
She said so many times, I just can't, you know. Yeah, she's the prime anti-Joss right there. Is she just couldn't do mean things to her characters.
Right, right.
She couldn't bear it. And Josh doesn't have that hang up.
No, and I respect him for that. Cause,
absolutely.
Yeah, because... Yeah, it's making the show better for me, so he knew what he was doing.
He knew what Sue needed.
He knew what Sue... He was thinking of me.
Yes.
I did think that. It's in one of the upcoming, or maybe in this one, where she isn't sleeping on the lace pillows, and I was like, Joss must have heard our podcast. And then gone back in time.
If I remember correctly, she does. Sorry to burst your bubble. I think she sleeps on them again at some point.
Well, that's fine.
I do. I found on Wikipedia, and I'd never seen this before, I found a deleted scene, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For this episode?
Yeah, it's between Angelus and Enyos. So Enyos says, "You, evil one." Angelus says, "Evil one? Oh man, now I've got hurt feelings. What do you want?" "A whole lot. Got a lot of lost time to make up for." "Say, I guess that's kind of your fault, isn't it? You gypsy type, you go and curse people. You really don't care who gets hurt. Of course, you did give me an escape clause, so I gotta thank you for that." Enyos, "You are an abomination. The day you stop suffering for your crimes, you are no longer worthy of a human soul." And Angelus says, "Well, that pesky little critter's all gone, so we can get down to business. Don't worry, it won't hurt a bit after the first hour." And that was just cut for length.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So that was Enyos' death scene or pre-death scene.
Oh. So, Innocence is number 12. Is this the highest ranking one then so far? Like,
so far, but Passion's ranked higher.
Okay.
And just for a little fun for you, there's one in season 2 that's actually ranked even higher than Passion.
Oh wow! Interesting, because, yeah, we're almost done with season two.
Yep, I think five more episodes. Next block will be another five.
Sweet. All right, should we move on to phases then?
Yep. Phases is ranked number 92. Kind of takes a dip. But, I don't know, I was thinking about it, because I'm like, oh yeah, phases, I watched it. I had to watch the last three last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, phases. Then I thought, oh, I bet Sue has no idea he's a vampire, or he's a werewolf, so that's going to be kind of fun for her. It won't be as, like, all right, phases. For Sue, it should be, like, revealing to you.
Yes.
You know, it's nothing new.
Right. No, I kind of liked phases. I think putting it at 92 seems about right to me. I mean, it wasn't a great episode, but I did like it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I loved the cheerleader statue callback.
Oh, yes.
Oz is just like, it looks like her eyes are just following me. I really was hoping that they would put it at what he was looking at so we could see it, but that's okay. Yeah. But I'm loving these little callbacks to previous stuff that's going on. I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's one of the fun thing for Buffy and for longtime fans. You know, you're kind of rewarded with watching every episode.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, the era this was made in, it's pretty groundbreaking. Shows do that now a lot, but back in the 90s, mid-90s,
Right, exactly.
Well, this was like MacGyver and, you know.
Right, Baywatch.
And Baywatch.
It's
still special now, but when you think of it back in the day, it was really special. It really was.
No, it's fun because it adds to just creating this different world that they live in.
Yeah.
How, you know, it. Yeah, I like it because it's not like, well, the cheerleader episode happened. We'll never talk about it again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I thought that was fun. Giles, I really enjoyed Giles in this episode. I love how, like, giddy he got about hearing there is a werewolf.
That's right. Is this the one where he laughs about the moon pie joke? Yes. Just like really long? And they're like, what?
It made me laugh so hard that he just found that moon pie joke so funny.
Was he just still giddy about the werewolf?
I think so. I was just like, he's so funny because, you know, it must get kind of tiring, all this vampire stuff, and ooh, a werewolf. You know?
That's a classic.
And I just think it like perked his giddiness, like as a scholar, like, ooh, I get to learn about something new, you know, I don't know, yeah. Just so. The
nerdiness kind of a thing.
Exactly, yeah, like the academic in him comes out more, just how excited he gets to just for this new thing, you know, because it's got to get old, all this vampire stuff, you know. So I really like that about it. And the show did to me exactly what it wanted to do. I really thought the bully was the werewolf at first.
Right.
Worked.
I'm a hook, line, and sinker kind of girl myself.
Well, I'll just say it again. I'm just watching this. I'm not trying to pick it apart. I think about it more after I've watched it. But as I'm watching it, I just want to have fun.
Right. You know, I think that's a great way to approach it.
Yeah. So I'm, you know.
It's an enjoyable way to watch.
It is. And that's, you know, that's why I am going to miss things like the whole Angelus thing, you know, I was just like, oh, that's what happened. So yeah, like I said, I'm just watching this to enjoy it. And then I'll stew about it when it's over. But as I'm watching it, I'm just like, things like me thinking the bully is the werewolf is going to happen.
You know, I don't think people are going to listen to this and think you're stupid. I think they're going to be glad you're watching it that way. I think it's kind of refreshing to have someone just watch and be like, no way!
Right, and that's how I want to be, because, you know, this is a show that I just didn't pay any attention to for years and years and years until you started watching it and talking about it a little bit. And I knew there was a fandom out there, you know, but it just wasn't my thing. And I didn't, you know, just never really thought about it. And so, and I know one thing I do like is I like uber fans of things. I love it when people get really into things, you know, even if it's not something I'm into, I just think that's fun.
Right.
And so I like, what was her name? Elizabeth saying how she's kind of envious of, she's always envious of people like watching this for the first time.
Yeah.
I kind of like that I'm doing that. I want the surprises. I don't want to sit there and analyze every little word that is coming out of these people's mouths. I just want to be surprised, and because this is my first time, and I want to enjoy it as much as I can, and that's the way I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, that's good, because I can tell you, as me, knowing everything that happens, someone like you, that's a really fun way to hear your reactions and stuff. So I think keep it up.
Okay. Because, yeah, I'm not stupid, but
I'm turning my brain off to just watch.
And yeah, react. It's entertainment. This is a TV show. I'm not going to take a scientific.
And boy, we did, though, when we watched Lost. We sat and made theories and theories.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, we had to, because you had all this time in between. When you're watching something binging.
Right, exactly.
You kind of watch differently, I think.
Yeah, but Lost also really wanted the fans to do that, I think.
True.
It put those things out there, you know.
Speaking of Lost,
it led itself to watching it that way.
It did. And speaking of Lost, we brushed on a few episodes ago. You asked if I saw what was... Do you remember that conversation? How I told you that they had everybody...
All the writers watch it.
All the writers watch
Buffy.
Right,
and I asked you if you had noticed why maybe that would have been, or...
Yes, and I actually, there was an article going around the Buffy fandom that talked about it in a roundabout way. And it was, Buffy paved the way for shows like Lost to be a show that was dramatic, funny, and supernatural, and was able to really do those three elements together well. And
okay, gotcha.
It really paved the way for Lost. And so that makes sense to me now that they would. I don't think I imagined it. I think they did have them to say, okay, this is how you do it. It wasn't my dream. I really think they said, this is how you can combine all these elements together and make an awesome show.
Right, because, yeah.
It's not specific plot points, it's, you know.
Well, usually if a show is based on, like, a supernatural something, there's really not a lot of humor involved.
Right.
You know, unless it's, like, the monsters or something. But that's just over-the-top slapstick dumb, you know?
Yeah, but this show can go from comedy, and it can have really high highs, and it can have really low lows, and it can make you cry, it can make you laugh.
Right. That makes sense.
Oh, and romance. I guess throw another genre in there.
Right, exactly, because Lost does encompass all those things, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I
didn't write a lot of notes for phases.
No, I really didn't either. I mean, I like Oz being a werewolf. I think that's cool that he has his own supernatural thing about him.
Yeah, and I like how when everyone figures out, he wakes up in the forest and he's like, huh.
Yeah, and then he calls his aunt and he's like, so is Jory a werewolf?
Right. And like, you can kind of tell she says yes.
Exactly, because he goes like, and how long has this been happening? Or something like this. That made me laugh so hard when he just puts it out there. So,
yeah.
Steve werewolf.
It does have odd ramifications that if this little boy bit him, I assume he's young. He just said something about his grown-up teeth, so he's probably under 10. But he bit him as a human, and he's now a werewolf. So does that mean Oz has to be really careful?
Yeah, that's how I take it, that he... Yeah, because he and Willow kind of have that conversation, and she's like, no biting, okay?
She's like, no biting.
I like how she's like, it's okay, because I'm not that great 3 days out of the month either.
Yeah, that's really cute. I think the werewolf hunter brings the show down a bit.
Yeah.
I think he's a big reason it's 92, not like in the 60s somewhere, or 70s maybe.
I agree.
I call him the Joe Piscopo guy in my head. Does he look like Joe Piscopo?
He kind of does.
In fact, I had to check IMDb the first time I saw it. I'm like, is that Joe Piscopo?
So that's what he's been doing lately.
Of course, when I think of Joe Piscopo, all I can think of is the skit with him and Eddie Murphy doing the Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory.
Frank Sinatra. And then, so I'm already thinking of that. And then he goes and talks about Elephant Ivory, and I giggle again.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't like the werewolf hunter at all.
Just a misogynist for no real reason. I don't know. Just kind of dumb. It is funny that he thinks she and Giles are together. And he underestimates Buffy so much. A little bit of funny.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Then she bends his gun.
She's like, don't let the town hit you in the ass on your way out. I loved it when Buffy and Giles are at that makeout point place, and he asks Buffy if she's seen anything, and she just starts gossiping about all the people making out.
That's just a good little Buffy callback moment.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, I like it when they... You know, she goes through a lot in the series, and it's kind of fun when they take her back to just being a shallow teenager.
Exactly. Yep. That was fun. And I enjoyed Xander and Larry's talk and how it turns.
Oh, yeah. Xander reacts really funny. He's like, oh, whoa. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So no, I enjoyed the episode. I like werewolves. I have loved the Universal Monsters my whole life.
Right.
And so I was happy that there is a werewolf now, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm getting the idea that Oz is going to be more and more a main part, and I think the little werewolf callbacks are going to be fun. I can see it happening.
Yeah. 3 days a week, 3 days a month.
Yeah. And I'm sure there will be some really fun Xander digs.
Yep. Yeah. Oz sticks around. I'll say that.
Well, good.
Yeah. And I like Larry, how he was overcompensating.
Yeah.
It's just too funny. And then he like feels so good after saying he's gay out loud. And he's totally changed. He like helps that girl with her books at the end. Larry's a good little side character.
Yeah, I'm liking him. And I liked it when Willow... I liked Willow in this episode. I like how she like kind of stands up for herself and goes over to Oz's house, and you know, she's like, instead of helping us research, you're just home alone. <You know? laughs>
That's right. Because you could see, you know, that that was a very something you could relate to, being the young girl, and you like this guy, he's taking you out.
And he seems to like you.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, and she even like, we could, you know, we could research together. And he's like, I can't. Yep. And then she comes home, and you're just here alone.
With chains.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I kind of appreciate that they didn't show us the whole transformation into a werewolf, because that usually doesn't work very well.
Yes.
It.
Don't they? Yeah.
You know.
The werewolf suit, you know, we'll, it's not great.
We could just gloss over it.
It's okay.
You know.
It's a WB show.
Exactly. It, yeah, we don't need to, because it's obvious that it's not great.
Let us not dwell on it.
It just adds to, like, the camp of the show to me. It you does. Know, the Absolutely. The funny bad. So, yeah, all in all, I enjoyed Phases. I mean,
yeah,
I liked it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just didn't do a lot of quotes this time. I know I have some in the next couple, but the moon pie, I don't know. I think Giles laughing at the moon pie joke was probably my very favorite part of the whole episode.
That's so funny.
I don't even remember what the joke was.
I don't either, to tell you the truth.
And while there's absolutely no scientific explanation for a lunar effect on the human psyche, the phases of the moon do seem to exert a great deal of psychological influence. And the full moon is seems to bring out our darkest qualities.
And yet, ironically, led to the invention of the moon pie.
Oh. Moon pie.
I enjoyed Giles' reaction to it more than...
Yeah, really, that's what sticks with you.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. This is number 33. Now, while I like it, and I'm glad Harold found it so funny, I find it funny, but I can think of three episodes that made me laugh harder just right off the top of my head, and I bet I could come up with more. Like, I don't think we've had any of them yet.
Oh, okay. I was...
You're like what?
No, I'm like...
They're coming.
Because, no, I enjoyed this one quite a bit, actually.
This is great, and it's a good episode. It really is, and it actually was thrown together quickly because it was supposed to just go right to Passion, but Sarah Michelle Gellar went to film Saturday Night Live this week. And that's why she's a rat through a lot of the episode.
Oh, okay.
They just did her scenes quickly, and then she went off to New York and did SNL, and they finished the episode. And, yeah, so he had to... I think he wrote it really quick. It wasn't Joss. I didn't write down Joss, so if it was, I didn't write it down. But it was written quickly and just thrown in. But they did a great job.
It's yeah, amazing for how yeah, good they did. For something thrown together like that, it's really quite good.
Yeah.
I like the name of Oz's band, Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Yes. And as Carrie pointed out, that is an actual band. I'm sure Seth Green isn't in it, but it's an actual band called Four Star Mary, and I think those are their actual songs. But since Oz is in it for the show, they changed their name to be
Right.
Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Right.
Well, I have a fun fact about this episode. After this episode aired in Britain, Sky TV dropped it for Third Rock from the Sun. And it didn't get back on the air for a year. And it only did after they got a lot of complaints about bitter fans. Can you imagine going to this episode and then being like, meh, let's show Third Rock from the Sun instead. And everyone's like, are you kidding me?
Right, right. Because, yeah, after the turn that Angel takes.
Yeah. And the internet's still kind of a baby. I don't think there was a way for people to kind of try and pirate it from America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think. Anyway, it was a big problem. And they had a lot of angry fans left. Yeah.
Well, back in 97 or so when this would have aired, pirating was probably something that only like real computer geeky people could do.
Well, yeah, and internet was dial-up, I mean.
Right,
how long would that have taken to even download something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
This was pre-YouTube, just all of that.
Right. Probably pre Napster and everything.
Yeah, or kind of right when Napster might have been starting. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Probably a little pre Napster. Anyway, yeah, so I was thinking that was probably a big problem. Although by a year, they probably would have come out on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, it probably took like almost a full year for things to get. Things seem to come out on DVD a lot sooner now than they did back then.
That's true. Plus, getting them from in like a formatted.
Right.
In the other format.
Right.
Who knows? Anyway.
But, so, yeah, I felt bad for Xander when he gives that necklace to Cordelia, and then she's like, I want to break up.
Oh, I know. She gets peer pressured.
Yeah, her friends suck.
Harmony.
Yep. I like it when Harmony's like, talking about going on a date with someone, and she's like, he's going to ask two other girls out, and then if they say no, he's taking me.
I didn't get that. That's funny.
Talking about going to some frat party or something, but but Xander's little speech to Cordelia in the bronze just totally reminded me of Norman's talk to Bradley. At her door.
Yes.
And he's like, just let me talk. And it's like, no, you should shut up right now. Let her talk first. So Joyce and Buffy are at home, and you know, that knock comes to the door, and Joyce bringing in the black flower box with the black ribbon, like that didn't raise any red flags for her.
Or Buffy's alarmed expression. And all the card says is soon. Yeah, nice moment, Joyce.
Yeah. Come on.
Way to read the situation.
I like it when Xander goes to school the next morning and that dude like goes, dude, way to get dumped.
I know. That's so funny.
That just made me laugh so hard. But yeah, I just like the turn that this took, because when Amy puts that, you know, the spell, it took me, at first I thought the spell just hit Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, a couple other girls talked to him, and then I was like, oh, so it affected everyone but Cordelia.
Yeah.
I just like that twist. Which it backfired. Did they explain why it backfired like that?
The only thing you get is Giles. I think it's Giles. He theorizes that the necklace actually protected Cordelia from the spell. Buffy Wiki, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Theorizes also, while casting the love spell, Amy invokes Diana as the goddess of love and the hunt. Diana, or Artemis, was the goddess of the hunt, sure enough, but she was also the chaste maiden goddess. The goddess of love is Venus, or Aphrodite. Perhaps this is what caused the spell to backfire. I don't know, they just come up with that little theory that maybe because she got the goddess of love wrong.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mess up.
I guess so, but so if Diana isn't the goddess of love, why did they all fall in love with her? I mean, it's not the love part that backfired. It's somehow Cordelia was protected from the spell. I don't know.
Well, if I were to write that, I would have not used the word backfire. I would have just caused the spell to go wrong. That she just messed up and so...
That she messed up and somehow
the spell
using
just went wrong. Yeah.
The necklace.
It's okay. A week. It's a week. But
it's a weakness, something. But you know what? I'll just buy Giles's explanation that it had something to do with the necklace.
Yeah. She's a new witch. You know, she's...
True.
Pretty good. Although... He also was very, how did you learn to transform people into rats? That's pretty heavy stuff.
Right, yeah, I did like that. I just had the thought that maybe there's something about Cordelia. Maybe there's something supernatural about her, something that we just don't know about her.
I love when Xander's like, is this love? Because it... Like, since it was her, I was like, maybe this is love. Doesn't seem that different. But he, like, explains it because it's her. When he's still confused that she's supposed to be in love with him.
Right, right. I also kind of wondered if maybe in her heart she was still in love with him. And so that's why the spell didn't work, because it only works on people who aren't in love with him or something.
But I think that that's why Willow was extra crazy.
Oh, that's right.
Because she had the axe. She was, like, more than anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, more serious
about
it. That's
right. That's, okay, so that little
theory. And the theory is that that's because she actually was in love with him already, so she got, like, an extra dose.
An extra dose of love. I thought that was sweet that Oz is... I loved it when he comes in and just punches him.
Then he helps him up.
I know, when he's like, I was on the phone with Will all night and she was crying about you. I thought that was really sweet. Yeah. But, I mean, most guys would be like, see ya, you know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put up with a girl crying about another guy all night. But,
he was probably pretty relieved to find out it was a...
A spell.
Love spell. I don't think you really see that. But... I imagine he was.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it when, before the spell, when Xander grabs Amy and he's like, Amy, good to see you. You're a witch. And I thought it was really sweet that, see, this is why I thought it, because Cordelia was actually wearing the necklace, but she was wearing like that high collared shirt so no one could see it.
She says it's in the locker, but she was secretly wearing it. She loves him.
I know.
That was a cute little detail, I thought.
Myself. I thought it was cute. Was that before the spell? Oh,
yeah, because he needed it.
Okay. Right. That's right.
That's the only reason he really took it back, is he needed something of hers. You'd think he, after dating for a while, he'd have even a pen or something of hers.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think he felt too bad taking it back. He was pretty
mad. Yeah. You don't blame him.
No. Mad enough to do a love spell to, you know, he didn't want her to fall in love with him. He wanted her to
fall in love with him so that he could dump her.
Right, so she could see how it felt.
I thought that was so funny. But it wasn't so that she'd be in love with him again. It was just so that he could dump her.
That's good stuff.
That is good stuff. I liked it when Buffy and Giles are, you know, when Giles is like looking through that book and he's like, uh-oh, Valentine's Day, you know, Angelus seems to really do a number on Valentine's Day, and he starts talking about a puppy and she's like, I don't want to hear about the puppy.
She's talking about it being nailed too. She's like, don't.
I wrote down, I don't want to hear about the puppy either.
She's like, I don't have a puppy, go on. I don't need to hear this. It's not going to happen.
Just in my mind, I'm like, he's so awful. Even a puppy?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a puppy?
And I know this is jumping in a little, but in Passion, when he gets Willow's fish, mm-hmm. I thought, you know, they're fish. This would have had a lot more impact if it was a dog or a cat.
Yeah, if it was a little string of dead kittens.
Not that that would play well on TV. No. As well as fish might.
That would be horrifying.
But you know what I mean? If it was off screen, you know what?
Right.
And actually, I don't know, fish? Yeah. Do you really get attached to fish?
No, I'm hoping mine will die so I can take down my tank. I've got like three left. It's like, die!
You need Angelus.
But I'm still feeding him, still changing the filter. I just want him to die because I'm sick of having a fish tank. But I don't have the heart to like just flush him.
We have a fish right now, a betta, that appears to be constipated. I had to Google. I don't know. I had one of those weeks where I was really feeling being the stay-at-home mom. Oh, yeah. And one day, Lola woke me up at 1:30 to go outside, and it ends up that she threw up. Now, I appreciate the fact that my dog wakes me up to go outside to throw up.
Right. That's a good dog.
But she ended up throwing up again. I woke up to throw up. Oof. I don't know. We changed her food. It didn't sit well with her, apparently. But and that was the same day I figured out that the fish is constipated and I have to, like, do all this special stuff for it. And I'm like, seriously? Why do we have animals?
I know. Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, back to Buffy.
I really appreciated what a good guy Xander was, like, not like resisting Buffy when she's trying, you know, when she shows up in like the little short coat.
Yeah. Now, when she's the first one to come on to him, and mm-hmm. he's kind of like, forgets all about Cordelia. And Amy, you know, Amy comes, she's like, it went wrong. And he's like, that's okay. You know, but he does resist her. He does indeed.
He's a good guy. I like how he's like, you know, you have no idea how much I want this, you know, but you're, this is not you. And I don't want it to be this way. You know, that it was just a nice refreshing after you hear all these stories about like guys taking advantage of drunk girls and stuff, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just
way to go, Xander.
Way to go, Xander. I'm liking you more and more and more.
Especially since they all seem to remember it all. You know, Buffy's like, I remember, and I remember, you know, what you did.
Yep.
You know, yep. And that was cool.
Yep.
So I don't know how that would have went down if he would have
exactly
taken advantage of
yeah, the situation.
Yeah, and they do the stud walk.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was so hoping for Staying Alive music.
The song they choose was pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was.
Got the love.
Yeah, it was effective.
But, yeah, it's funny because, I don't know, some other guy might have been just bathing in it for that stud walk. Just like, yeah, this is so cool. But he's just like terrified.
I know.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I like it when after Amy turns Buffy into a rat, Giles goes, we have to catch the Buffy rat.
That's funny.
But I love it. I think, yeah, it's right before that when Amy comes in on Buffy, you know, making the moves on Xander, and Buffy says to Amy, I know what your face wants, and punches her.
That's a good line. And Jenny was funny.
She was, yeah. It was funny watching her.
She does like a little double take.
Yeah.
Nice shirt.
You been working out?
And then it just kind of snowballs.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of fun. So, yeah, I enjoyed all the girls, even like the lunch lady. Chasing after Xander.
And funny music when it's the lunch lady. It kind of sounds like the Psycho music.
Right. The Benny Hill music would have worked for me too.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
I just like it when he and Cordelia go outside and they're all there and Willow has like a big axe. Yeah, and then they run to Buffy's house and Joyce is all, do you want it hot or cold? Like, gross.
Xander just kind of slams his face on the table. And it's really cute when Cordelia figures out that it was for her. She, the whole time, well, she didn't know it was a spell for a while, but she just figures it was because she lost him. He just wanted everyone to be in love with him to maybe make her jealous or something.
Right, right, exactly. So when Xander and Cordelia are at Buffy's house, and then Angelus suddenly appears and like grabs Xander. So he was there to get Buffy, right? But it just happened to be Xander there?
I don't know. He didn't seem surprised to see Xander. I don't think he was trying to get Buffy. He must have been watching Xander go into Buffy's house because...
Oh, he just wants the way to Angelus kill all works. Of Buffy's friends, yeah. Just to be an extra douche.
Exactly. Yeah, an extra douche. Great way to say it. He is not interested in just killing Buffy. He wants her to suffer.
Right. Suffer
and
first.
He really wants her to suffer for making him feel like a human. And, yeah, so just killing Buffy is not going to do it.
Man, he's cold. But I loved it how even Drusilla starts falling in love with Xander.
I know, I forgot to mention that and I didn't write it down. But, yeah, that's amazing that it works on Drusilla.
That was a great touch, I thought, having it even work on her. But I really liked what Cordelia did at the end, where she just, when the spell's over and it's like the next day at school or whatever, and
her friends are back to bitchy,
and she finally just goes, "Harmony, just shut up," or something like that.
Yeah, and I'll date whoever I want, no matter how lame he is.
She's got her backhanded compliments are the best. Yeah. She is the best at that.
And then she just leaves with him, and then she's like, "Oh my gosh!" That whole thing's cute.
It is, and never would I have expected that. I kind of like Cordelia and Xander together, but I do.
Yeah, me too.
I don't see it going on for the whole series, but I'm okay with where it's at.
I know it was said in front of you. I don't know if you remembered it or not, so I don't know if I should say it again.
But
Cordelia goes over to Angel, the series.
Oh, yeah, I remember someone. I did know that.
I don't remember how it came up and who said it, but...
That's right.
It's info you've already heard. She, and it's the end of season 3.
Huh.
So, anyway, that's just something. It can't go on the whole series because she leaves the series for Angel.
Right. So there's no crossovers? I just kind of assumed there was crossovers.
There are crossovers.
Okay.
But.
Huh. Interesting.
They're in different cities, is all I'll say. And there, it would be impossible to be full-time on both shows the way Angel is and the way Buffy is. Different towns and everything.
So this is something else that you can tell me to chew on that for a bit. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that, but it doesn't, like, ruin anything for me either.
No.
But now I'm, like, very interested on why that happens. So yeah, I liked it. I like it when, I like the little scene between Oz and Buffy, or yeah, when Buffy, when she comes back from being a rat.
She has a slight case of nudity.
Yeah. She's like, can you get me some clothes? And he's like, yes. Because I don't think he wanted to be there much longer. He seemed really uncomfortable.
Yes. He's like, but there's an upside. You're not a rat.
That's right. I did like that. But yeah, no, this was a fun episode. It was a fun, like, little one-off, you know, Xander-centric. I don't know. Xander-centric. I liked it.
Yeah, and, you know, you'd think you, and you may not like a episode, you know, smack in the middle of these. And you kind of have two that are sort of off the main Angelus plotline, which is super emotional and everything. It's nice to get away and have these sort of one-off, just different, you know, it's kind of, I wouldn't call them really one-offs because they're not really Monster of the Week, either of them.
True.
Phases a little bit, but it's Oz.
Right.
So it seems a little more mainstream than Monster of the Week. But they're, like, they're good episodes in there to kind of just relieve the tension a little bit between innocence and passion and have a little fun.
Right, and I think...
You've still got Angelus. And...
Right, and maybe they work a little bit better when you're binge-watching than they would have...
True.
As a weekly, you know, I'm sure there were some people when this one aired were probably like, another one without a lot of Angelus and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it works when you're watching back-to-back, you know.
Right.
Like I am. I think it works well. So, yeah, I liked it. So, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, all of those having to do with Xander then? I mean, who, the Bewitched are all the girls. Bothered is Xander? I mean, is there any reason to, like, pick apart the title of the episode?
It's a Frank Sinatra song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Called Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
Oh, okay.
So that's, yeah.
Dad would hate me for not knowing that. I like Frank Sinatra.
I only know it because working at Riverside, we had a disc of his duets, and he does the duet with Cher.
Oh. Huh.
So I heard it a lot.
Okay, so on to Passion then.
On to Passion, which is ranked number 7. So we've broken the top 10 for the first time.
Yep.
And surprisingly, this was not written nor directed by Joss Whedon. And it's so good. His little birds, they can fly.
Yeah. That is kind of interesting.
I'm sure he was heavily involved. But.
Right.
You know, this was written by Ty King. And you know the only other episode he's written at this point? I don't know if he's written more, but. Was Some Assembly Required?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He redeemed himself.
He did.
He's like, Joss is going to fire me any minute now.
He's been working on Passion ever since.
So yeah, this one was really good. It had like some like really kind of scary, I don't know, it was kind of, it had a little bit of a feel of like a scary movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like when Buffy starts thinking about her mom and she's like, I've invited him in, you know, I'm not there with my mom. I was like, oh man, something bad's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I just kind of felt that tension, you know? I was really mad at her at the very beginning of the episode for looking out the window. I just stay away from windows at night, people.
Buffy's kind of fearless.
She is, but.
I guess that super strength lends you I guess, not fearing yeah. as much.
But then when she goes to bed and you see Angel looking at her through the window, I was like,
He, is it later on in this episode that he just like sits there and looks at her for like a long time? I guess that's when he sketches her.
It's
creepy.
I think it's when he's watching them hear the news over the phone that Jenny's dead.
No, that's not what I'm thinking of. I swear there's a time where he is just there in her room, just like, and you can tell he's there for a while. You don't see it for very long, but you can tell that he's either been there a while or will be there a long time, just there.
Well, is it when she wakes up and finds the drawing?
Probably.
So you know he had been in her, I mean, because you see him look through the window and then it so seems great. A little bit later on and you see him like kind of playing with her hair a little bit, I think. Yeah, that was creepy. And then, waking up and finding that drawing. Oh, I'd be so creeped out. Oh, that's that would freak me out so much.
But, and it's kind of cool how he's the one that does kind of the narrating, talking about passion.
Right. Right. He does it's his voice doing the voiceover stuff.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. And I don't know, when you tried to decide what passion was going to be about, you just kind of rolled your eyes. Oh no.
Right.
His passion is not, you know, a little different than you might have expected.
Well, it's a different focus now.
Right.
So.
He still has a lot of passion for Buffy, but it's evil passion.
Yeah, it's not creepy 250-year-old guy. Being passionate about a 17-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah, he's refocused. I like the whole conversation they had about how she realizes that, you know, he is been invited to her house and they need to figure out how to uninvite him. And Cordelia's like, he's been in my car.
I know. And then later she switches with her grandma. Yeah. Which I don't know the rules about vampires and cars. I don't even know if that's an issue or a non-issue.
I
feel like they're not dwellings where... I don't know. I just feel like if a vampire wanted to get into your car, they wouldn't have, like, the invisible shield.
Right. Right.
Like they would in your house.
Right.
So it makes it even funnier. And then I love that later she had switched cars with her grandpa.
Well, and it's funny because in True Blood, they can just uninvite you. They just have to say it. You're not invited anymore.
Hmm. That would have been less complicated than the rituals.
But I don't know. The ritual was kind of fun. Seeing Buffy and Willow sitting on Buffy's bed, and there's that big string of garlic behind them, just made me laugh.
I know. That's actually one of my likes because I don't think they've ever mentioned garlic before. It's like they were so scared and creeped out. They were just trying every precaution they could think of. Yep. Love that.
And when Jenny goes to that little store, I was like, I want all of that stuff. for my apothecary at Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I was like writing down ideas. Ooh, that looks cool.
That's kind of funny how we be like, oh, you're a... He figured out that she like actually she's not just a tourist or whatever. That then
oh, she actually a knows new what ager. She's talking
about. Yeah, so he kind of changes his mode of speaking and things.
Yeah, yeah, and there is a little exposition conversation going on, which I guess was needed.
Which one?
Well, when she's like, "I need that. I'm looking for a
what is Orb of Bethel?"
Or yeah, and he explains what it does and
right.
I'm like, okay.
If she wouldn't have been so chatty, Drusilla wouldn't have heard her, though, and Angel wouldn't have found out.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah. So, Drusilla, is she like a telepath or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this the first we've seen that, or was I supposed to know this before?
I feel like a lot... Before this, there's just been little things where Spike, you know, she had the tarot cards for the
right
Order of Taraka.
True.
And she knew exactly what was going to happen. You know, you look at the cards and it had all the people. I think there have been hints at her having psychic kind of powers.
Yeah, I guess so. This was just the first time I went, oh, she can like mind read or something or...
She, and when Angel changes, she kind of claps to the ground and Spike's like, what's wrong?
Right.
And it turns into laughter because she's figured out that something really good's just happened.
Right, right. So she's got a little something extra vampire-y about her.
Yeah, she has the eye, maybe you could call it.
Gotcha. Okay. So, So Jenny's dead. What the bip?
Yeah, so.
I mean, really? She's really dead?
Let me tell you what went through my head. I was like, she's going to get away. She's going to get away. There were so many times where she almost got away.
I know.
And she almost got away. And I was really invested in Jenny. I don't know. I really liked her. You know how I've always liked Giles, and so I was very happy that he found... I just liked her, and I liked them together. And...
Yeah.
Same. I just couldn't. I was like, someone's going to save her. Someone's going to save her. And then when she meets him at the top of the stairs or on the landing of the stairs, I was like, okay, how's she going to get away? And then he snaps her neck.
I know.
And I thought, okay, now I had worked it all out in my head because I just could not accept it. I worked out in my head that he bites her still and turns her into a vampire and that they're going to find, you know, she's going to be evil with Angelus for a little while and they're going to find that disc and they're going to get her soul back before she even, like, does anything too bad.
Gotcha, right.
To where she's just kind of normal again, but a vampire. So that was what was going to happen in my head. I couldn't believe he snapped her neck. I just couldn't accept it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I had a hard time processing it too, because I was like, no. Yeah, I mean, I didn't go into the elaborate...
Oh, I figured it out. That
you did. But I had a hard time, even up to the point at the very end when Giles and Buffy are at the cemetery. I'm like, okay, she's really dead. I mean, I don't know. I guess I thought even when, just that scene when Giles thinks that she's, that was heartbreaking.
So sad. He's so evil.
He is. I know. I wrote down, holy crap, Angel is so evil.
He is a horrible person.
He is. I love it. I mean, it's just so unexpected to me that he just is just a horrible, horrible person.
Now you can see why when he has a soul back, he might be a little broody. He has a lot to brood over. He is a bad person.
He is bad. And yeah, I still thought when Giles like found her in his bed, like, okay, maybe she's just like critically injured.
I did the same thing, Sue. I just couldn't.
And they're gonna find a spell, like a gypsy spell, to bring her back or something.
She's dead, and that Joss, that's the main reason he had Angelus just coldly snap her neck and then pretty much just walk away, because he wanted you to know that there was no hope for bringing her back. She's dead. He didn't want you to think that she was going to be turned into a vampire. You know, all the things I thought. Mm-hmm. He really orchestrated that in a way that was supposed to, which we just didn't want to accept it, but a way that was supposed to just tell you under
no circumstances,
no uncertain terms, she is dead. And we all know now what Joss is capable of.
Yeah.
Because she was a great character. She was loved. She was interesting. She had a lot of potential going on.
Yeah, she didn't seem to me like one of those characters. Sometimes you see one of those characters come in and people start to love and they, you know, and you're like, oh, they're going to be dead pretty soon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of,
smell their death mile away.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you see it every once in a while in, like, Walking Dead or something. It's like, oh, well, we'll see this person for an episode or two, and then they're going to die. You know it, you know?
Yep, you,
But with, I never...
Nikki and Paolo.
Yeah, they're going to get Nikki and Paolo'd. But I did, that thought never occurred to me with Jenny at all. I just thought she was going to be in at least a few seasons. So I was really, whoa.
And of course they had to reconcile them, because they had some rocky times. It finally looked like they were going to be able to.
I know.
Yeah. That... they kept getting, you know, the treatment.
Yeah, that's kind of what made it even more harsh, was there was hope again for her and Giles.
Yep.
And, oh, just...
And Giles at the grave, you know, I've lost a lot of people as a watcher, but she's the first one I loved.
Yeah, that was sad, and Buffy should have killed Angel.
Yeah, and she says that, and she apologizes, and he doesn't let her off the hook?
Nope.
Kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was good. That, yeah, I was very surprised.
Yeah, and this is Anthony Stewart Head's favorite episode.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a emotional one.
Yeah, and that first time, it really surprised me.
Yeah, I thought Angel was going to be in the bedroom.
Mm.
And then, like, the more he was going up the stairs, I was like, oh, it's not going to be her, is it? You know?
Oh, so you thought it would just be Angel.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I was...
Nope, this is worse.
Yeah. It kind of occurred to me that, no, Angel is really a bad guy. I bet it's going to be her. And at least she looked better than the corpse in Norma's bed.
Yes. Yes. Eon's better. Yes.
But I don't see how... Now, this is such a game changer, because there's no way Angel and Buffy can ever go back to what they were in my mind. No way.
Well.
I mean, because
You know, them having sex is not such a good idea.
Oh, no. What?
What?
Yeah, I know that's not such a good idea. I don't know. Is he going to get his soul back? Is there going to be... I don't know. This is just such a game changer to me. I don't see that happening. I don't see how it could.
Well, I see one way it could.
I'm not seeing it.
You didn't see the disc?
Yeah, I saw that. Yes. I saw the disc, and I assumed that'll come, you know, we'll see it again.
And so did I on first watch. I was like, okay. I don't know. I just remember coming up with a few theories.
Well, it would just be such a betrayal to Giles if Buffy gets back to, if Angel gets his soul back and Buffy gets back together with him. There's no way she can do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he crossed a line whether...
Yeah, I mean, because the whole time I was, you know, up until he kills Jenny, I was like, well, he's done some terrible things, but if Jenny succeeds in giving him his soul back, and I can see Buffy, like, eventually... like forgiving him and them getting back together. But now in my mind, there's just no way that can happen. This is like the game changer episode to me.
Yeah. And I'll just say one thing. You could probably come up with 5 to 10 theories, and I don't think you'll come up with what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause that was pretty, that was crazy that he killed her. I love Buffy. Just my note just says, kick his ass, Buffy.
Yeah, we all pretty much want to see him dead. He's crossed the line to the audience, I think, to where I don't see how we can forgive him.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And... yeah, I like it when I just like the whole scene when Giles is in the factory. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
The factory. And he just like lights that bat or whatever on fire and just keeps hitting Angel.
Yeah. And, you know, I wrote down in my notes, you'd think they would use fire more.
Mm-hmm.
You would think so. Fire is a... easy way to kill a vampire, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't work there, but I don't know, when a stake, you know, like a boy, how effective would be like a crossbow on fire, flaming arrow?
You would think.
If you don't get the heart, you still
exactly
got fire in their body.
Yeah, but I like how Buffy showed up and just starts wailing on Angel. That must have been good for her.
Yes. And it's it was sad, though, when she hits Giles.
I laughed out loud when she punched him.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
Well, I don't know. It just, I didn't see it coming. And I don't know, for some reason, just Buffy punching people makes me laugh. I laughed when she punches Ethan in that one episode. I laughed when she punched Amy. And now when she punched Giles. I mean, it's not that I thought Giles deserved it or anything, but it was just so unexpected. It was just like, boo, you know. But then, you know, she's like, I can't. She's just mad at him because he could have gotten himself killed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess
it was kind of a wake up slap, if you will. But
that's
kind of
how I saw it was. Yeah.
They're just desperate to stop him.
Exactly.
I don't know. It had a lot behind it.
It did. It did. But yeah, good episode. I'm looking forward to, like I said earlier, this. With the ending of Passion, I'm like, I just want to watch the next one. So I'm glad I watched it last night so that we could talk about it so that I could go on.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot of... How did you watch these? What, I know you didn't. You were just watching Surprise this week.
Yeah, I watched Surprise on... What's today? Friday? Mm-hmm. So I think I watched Surprise on Tuesday night. And then Innocence and Phases the next night. And then Bewitched and Passion last night.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you get to finish off season two.
I know.
With this little string. And you know, we were talking. You were talking about being excited for a premiere episode when she was bad and was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, I went through all the premieres and... they don't have the best reputation. But all of the season finales are great.
Oh, cool. So... any stray thoughts anymore about Passion? I mean, I know it was a great episode. I feel like, did we cover it all?
We covered what I have in my notes, but like, oh, I had a funny quote when Buffy is seriously talking about she's worried about her mom and asking if maybe she should tell her. Xander's like, oh, the more people you tell the secret, the more it cheapens it for the rest of us. Yeah. It's so funny. He likes to be in on this little secret.
He does.
And even for a serious reason like this, telling her mother, he says that. It's funny.
Right. Yeah, and for a second there, I thought she was going to tell her.
Yeah. Oh, when she... Oh, we... No, okay. We missed one big thing. When he tells Joyce, when he goes over there acting like a lunatic boyfriend.
That's right.
And he tells her. It's just
evil. So awful.
Oh.
Yeah, and Joyce had a really good reaction to him, you know. Because he was being very, you know, because Buffy had told him, you know, she was like, well, you know, we dated, but we broke up, and now he won't leave me alone, and he's leaving me notes. And then
kind of warns her, if he comes by, don't invite him, you know, he's a little off his rocker.
Right, and then he shows up, and he's like, way worse than how Buffy described him.
Yeah.
Like, you're not helping your cause.
Just crazy. That's just the worst thing to do.
He's just horrible. I love it.
Deliciously so.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah. So then Buffy and Joyce had to have the talk. Right.
That was kind of cute. How did it go? I don't know. It was my first.
Yep. Yeah, so. Yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. But we really do kind of need to wrap up.
Yeah.
We can always go back to Passion when we think of things later on.
I did notice, like, overall, something looks different about Buffy. Is it her hair?
I thought she looked really different in Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
Yeah. I was like, what? Did she, you know, like, did she lose a lot of weight? And I was like, wait, no, she didn't have a lot of weight to lose. I'm like, something is off. Something looks different about her. And I was like, I think it's her hair. Because her hair is really straight. And normally...
Yeah, her look will change a lot. Okay. And also, I remember Stephanie from Potential Cast saying she no matter how thin you think she might be, she loses weight through the course of a season because of the major toll it takes on her physically.
Oh, okay.
So she does. Almost every season she drops weight from the first episode to the last.
Huh. Interesting. So. Maybe that's what it is then, because I mean,
you can tell. It's probably pretty rigorous fighting, you know, all of
yeah,
that.
That's true.
Yeah, plus all the filming, it just kind of...
Her face just had a whole, like, almost a different shape to it almost, but sometimes, like, a different hairstyle will do that, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, I see that a lot with her, and they do change her makeup quite a bit. Her hair changes a lot. Oh, there's mm-hmm. some really funny...
Oh, great.
Bad hair. But, yeah, it changes a lot. I can think of, like, 50 different looks.
Interesting. Do you want to hear how I rank them?
Yes.
Worst to first?
Yep.
So 5 being the worst is I have Surprise.
Uh-huh.
And then Phases. Uh-huh. And then Bewitched. And then Innocence. And then Passion.
Yeah, I don't think there's any real surprise there. It's kind of hard to rank these, I think.
It was really hard to rank them, actually.
I mean, Surprise is hard to watch.
Surprise was definitely number 5 for me. But then
that was easy.
Yeah. I had a hard time between Phases and Bewitched and then Innocence and Passion because I had Innocence as number 1 for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more I thought about Passion, I was like, no, that's the best one.
Yeah, I could. Innocence is great for its shock value. I mean, Passion is great for its shock value, too.
Right.
Finding They're out about Angelus. And then I'd say Passion is definitely in my top 10.
Yeah.
That's of all time.
It's yeah, I'm still, I just still can't believe that Jenny's dead.
Yeah.
But, so the top things I liked is finding out that Oz is a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Angel losing his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Spike in a wheelchair.
Right.
Xander not undressing Buffy while she's under the spell.
Oh, yeah.
Oz telling Willow why he won't kiss her.
Oh, yeah, I should have put that if I had remembered.
Yep, and then Buffy kicking Angel in the cooch.
Good likes. My likes are, like I said, the garlic behind Buffy and Willow. And I like Angelus. And I like... Oh, and Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. Xander keeps blocking the doors wrong. Did you notice this? The library, he blocks the doors and they're like, they swing both way doors.
Yes.
And then when they go to the basement, he puts boards across the doorway and it just opens up from the other way and the girls get in.
I did notice that.
It was just a little running gag I thought was very funny.
Yep.
And this was my last one to put was the episode Passion because I couldn't think of anything else. But I would have said that Oz Willow talk in the car, had I thought of it.
Yep.
And I also, one of my likes was that they went there and killed Jenny Callender. But spoiler alert, that is also a dislike, that they killed Jenny Callender.
Yep. Good stuff. Yeah, I wrote down bottom 5, but I could only come up with 3. I just could not think of 2 more things. I guess I could add like the werewolf slayer guy.
Mm.
But mine are just the judge. I think he could have just been a little bit scarier. I don't know. I did not get the feeling from him that he was this huge demon that had to be summoned. And I don't know.
No, but if you really, you know, hear about the stories from Angel and Giles, the thought of a man, literally armies of people fought and they finally were able to dismember him. But
right,
he doesn't even have to touch you. I mean, most of what we saw was he was trying to get his strength back where
right.
he did have to touch people, but he could just burn people that have any humanity at him just anytime he wanted without touching them, just masses of people.
Right.
If you really think about him, he's pretty scary, but
he's a smurf.
Buffy calls him a smurf.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like they, you know, his background is so scary, and then you kind of look at him and it's like, huh, you know.
Yeah. And no weapon forged, you know.
Right.
We can do better today.
Yeah, but
So yeah, that's good. It's fine.
I also just didn't like the Buffy and Angel stuff in Surprise, but I understand why it was there. Mm-hmm. They just bugged me a lot. And then Jenny dying. Like, yeah. That was a bummer.
That was a bummer.
I didn't like that at all.
My dislikes were killing Jenny Calendar. Buffy and Angel in Surprise, but I put in parentheses, mostly Buffy.
Yeah.
I did not like the line at the end of Phases, a werewolf in love. It was too cheesy.
Oh, yeah, that was dumb.
I thought the show was better than that.
Yeah.
Cue cheesy music, you know. Exactly. A werewolf in love.
Yeah.
Cue cheesy music. Lame. I did not care for Drew's reaction when the judge exploded. I thought it was a little...
Oh, yeah.
Over the top. I don't know. It was like played for laughs, almost like a stage play. I don't know how to describe it.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I didn't like that either. She kind of...
squeals and just kind of...
and like, ew!
Runs away.
It's, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like it.
No,
that's all I can
agree.
Really say.
I agree.
And I don't like that Dalton's gone.
The little, yeah.
Respectable.
Right.
Good grief. I didn't like the...
The bookish.
The bookish. The spectacled. There it is. Werewolf. Or, dang it. Dalton's gone.
Just stop. We know what you're
another
saying.
Another dislike because I can't say it.
Werewolf. Dang it. Magic. Yeah, I forgot about that. I was like, oh.
And it was kind of his little face when before they really called his name, he was like, hey, what are we doing, guys? Oh, wait. I don't know. There's just something about the way that actor played Dalton.
It worked.
It really worked for me.
It worked for me too. I liked him. Yep. So, all right. So what are the titles of my next five?
Okay. You will be watching Killed by Death. I Only Have Eyes for You. Go Fish. And Becoming Part One and Becoming Part Two.
Killed by Death. Interesting. I don't like the idea of I Only Have Eyes for You. I don't like eyeball things. It's going to be gross eyeball things. I think. Yeah. Go Fish. I don't know. I hope someone doesn't turn into a fish. Or I hope it's not like another reptile boy, but this time fish boy.
Remember the last... Or two, yeah, I think it was the last time we had episodes and you were like, and I was like, well, I think you've been through all the bad. And then I'm like, wait, nope, whoops.
It's Go Fish, isn't it?
Spoiler alert, I am talking about Go Fish.
Great. But Becoming Part One and Becoming Part Two, those sound intriguing. This, so far, the show has done pretty well with its two-parters. So, and Becoming, yeah, I don't know. I don't have any predictions, but I really like the titles and I like that it's a two-parter.
I'll give you a teaser that I think it's Becoming Part Two. It might've been Part One.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Part Two though, is where I fell for Spike.
Oh, cool.
I told you I liked him. He was all right, but that's where I really sat up and took notice. Yeah, it's mostly Part Two.
Right on. All right, then.
Well? Do you have any predictions on where the story's going? I guess we've talked a little about it. You don't know how Angel could come back from this. And...
Nope. No, I really don't, because I'm just, I don't know. This show has just surprised me so much. I'm still trying to kind of process, like, thinking about where it could go, because I just see it like Angel just continuing to be horrible. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't.
All right. Well, you have fun.
I will. So, all right then. I guess I will let you know when I've watched these. Perhaps try and do more little Facebook thoughts as I'm watching them. Because I only did it with the one this time. So, all right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
See
ya.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, it's Emily. If there were any of you who were yelling into your iPods when I said that the duet with Cher for Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered was with Frank Sinatra, no fear, I figured it out. It wasn't Frank, it was Rod Stewart. But I know we had Frank Sinatra singing it too at the club. Anyway, figured it out. Don't yell. Bye.
Listen, babe. I couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep until I could sleep where I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Am I? Lost my heart, but what of it? My mistake, I agree. Oh, she's such a laugh, and I love it. Although the laugh's on me. Ooh, I'll sing to him. Yeah, yeah. Bring spring to him.
Oh, yeah.
And worship the trousers that cling to him.
Ooh, bewitched, bothered. It's so cute. Ooh, she's kept enough. She's slept enough. And yet, where it counts, she's adept enough.
Uh-huh.
Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Am I?
I thought Rob would be home to wrangle children, but he decided to go fishing.
Nice.
Yes. Here comes Scout. What's up?
Kevin,
yes, you may. Right. High school girls, mostly, I guess. Scissors are in my room by my bed.
I tried that already.
Keep trying. I see the door open. I know exactly what it's going to be.
Cam just walked in the office, like, wearing these really weird sunglasses and hat. Sorry. Cam's home.
Oh, Rob's done such things while we're recording.
Dancing. He danced. I have a feeling Cam's in the bedroom putting on more things to make me laugh. So there might be some interruptus going on.
Hold on a second. What?
Can I have a cafe latte, please?
You can. Will you check on Eleanor? Tell me what she looks like.
Uh-huh.
Don't wake her up if she's quiet.
Did Scout say she wants a cafe latte?
She did.
I'm already awake and she's like...
She's awake, okay.
And now I get night.
Yeah, you know. She means a little seize.
Like, what? There's a lot of things wrong there.
I have a pack of C's candies. She especially likes the cafe lattes.
Like espresso machine at Emin Rob's, huh? Them letting Scout drink it, huh?
Sue's head exploding.
Sue's head exploding now.
That's funny.
Yeah, so.
Pretty soon.
Is that with the laptop?
Yeah, I know.
It's getting sort of boring now.
Sorry.
So, go drink your cafe latte. And then relax for a while. I can't imagine Scout after a real cafe latte.
I know. Oh, my heavens. She'd be like Maggie Simpson. That's a coffee ice cream. Crawling up the shower walls or whatever. Yeah.
Last night I called Bunny Buffy. Yeah. Cam looked at me kind of exasperated. Like, I'm like, sorry.
Hat full.
Maybe two hats.
5 gallon hat.
This is a 5 gallon hat. I knew this one would be long.
Yep.
Come on, you think you'll drive me crazy? Well, come on, come on, you and his army, you and your cronies, come on, come on, Holy Roman Empire, come on if you think, come on if you think, you can take us.